And we were on the road driving when, of course, Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne came on the radio. And I had this like out of body experience. I don't even know how else to describe it.
Welcome back to the Try Reading Podcast, and welcome to the 50th episode and also the season finale of Try Reading. Wow, how did that even happen? Time has literally flown by, and I am so beyond grateful and lucky to be hosting this podcast. So thank you to all of the amazing listeners since day one. I wouldn't be here without your support. But as always, I'm your book nerd host, Gabriel, and really nobody cares about me anymore. We're all just here to see who the iconic guest is. And so without further ado, please put your hands in the air for debut author Anthony Narada. How are you doing, Anthony? How's the book world treating you?
I'm doing well, Gabriel. Thank you so much for having me. I know this has been a long time coming, but I'm thrilled to be here and a part of Try Reading.
That's so wonderful. Yes, I am so excited to finally be talking to you after so much planning. And yeah, it's such an honor to have you on the podcast. And I can't wait to learn more about you and your amazing book.
That's awesome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, I am, like I said, just so delighted to have you. And for the listeners who don't know about Anthony, put him and his amazing debut on your radar. Anthony Narada became a writer after his fifth grade teacher told him it was his destiny. Since then, he's read too many books, if there is such a thing. In my opinion, dear listeners, there is no such thing. And he's explored worlds far outside the reaches of his own. Anthony holds a BA in psychology and two diplomas, one in public relations and the other in publishing, which allow him to write the day away while simultaneously psychoanalyzing his friends. Anthony lives in Vancouver, British Columbia, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Coast Salish peoples. Skater Boy is his debut novel, and it is set to publish on February 6th, 2024 with Soho Teen, and I could not be more excited. This is the biggest honor to have you here today, Anthony, so thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Yes, I cannot wait for Skater Boy to hit bookshelves. It has been a project of my heart for so long, so I'm so excited for readers to get to experience it too.
I know, yeah, so soon, just over 2 months now.
Just over two, yeah, it's wild.
Wow, well, I do have to ask a question that I always start the podcast with, which is, what are you currently reading?
Ooh, yeah, so I actually just started reading Filthy Animals by Brandon Taylor. I have gone through Brandon's catalog in the past couple months, and so this is my last of his, and it's really about a group of like young creatives in the American Midwest and just navigating through life and relationships and like sex, and it's adult, but it's very beautifully written so far.
Yeah, well, that sounds really great and really intriguing and just a very interesting story to read.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Brandon Taylor.
Yeah. Well, my current read is your book, Skater Boy. And
yay!
Yeah, I am so excited to be reading it early. And it's just such a wonderful story. It is just everything I wish I had even years before, just being able to read this type of story. And so honored to be reading it early. It's a story that so many readers are going to feel seen by and connected to. And I cannot wait for other readers to experience it. And yeah, you have just crafted such a wonderful debut. So I'm loving it so much. And I can't wait to learn more about it.
Thank you, Gabriel. That honestly means a lot to me. So thanks.
Of course. Well, I have one podcast shout out from a previous guest, a book release, and that is When You Have to Wait by the lovely Melanie Conklin, and it is illustrated by Leah Hong. It releases on January 9th, 2024. It is a gorgeous picture book about patience, and as Melanie told me on her episode, it came from sympathizing with toddlers when she had to be stuck at home quarantining during the beginning of the pandemic. So I cannot wait for this book to be out. The illustrations that she has teased are so pretty. And yeah, so listeners, if you are interested in this book or you know someone that might be, it is out on January 9th, 2024. But my first official question for you, Anthony, is how did you fall in love with books and reading?
Yeah, I mean, what's funny about this question is that I don't even recall picking up a book as a little kid. And I know that sounds probably very bizarre, but I only started reading in like the later years of elementary school, probably I want to say grade 6 or grade 7. And more specifically, my love of books came from reading the Peter and the Starcatchers saga by Ridley Pearson and Dave Barry. It's the origin story of Peter Pan. And then Ridley's solo series, The Kingdom Keepers, it follows a group of kids as they battle like infamous Disney villains within the Disney parks. And I was just obsessed. Like it was my whole personality. And so the more I read and the more I was exposed to new stories, I really realized I wanted to tell stories of my own.
Yeah, absolutely. And even though it wasn't there from necessarily from the very beginning, you clearly you can pinpoint this sort of jumping off point. And then, as it says in your bio, in 5th grade, your teacher told you that being a writer was your destiny. But before that, had you ever thought about writing and like publishing as a career?
Yeah, well, in a very roundabout way, I guess. Like, I actually used to dream that I'd one day be a director because I loved movies growing up, and I was very much that kid who used to watch every category of the Oscars because I loved the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, and I very much wanted to be a part of that movie magic. And of course, as a kid, you never really understand all the different components that make up a movie. So, like in grade 5, maybe even before that, I started writing this like terrible screenplay because that's what I thought all directors did, of course, about a group of kids that had these like magical powers and traveled to another planet, which was literally just my basement, to fight off like this dark villain. And so yes, to answer your question, I always thought about writing. I just ironically never put it into words that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, that, it's an interesting because there are these very similar parallels with screenwriting, obviously, and, writing novels and yeah, just that sort of base love for storytelling. And then it just grew from there. And now here you are with a YA contemporary being published. And have you always loved reading YA or just that sort of YA contemporary genre?
Surprisingly, no. And I don't think it was because I didn't necessarily want to read them. I just never saw books that reflected my own experience or my lived experience as a closeted queer kid, especially in high school. So my love of reading very much started in fantasy. Like I fell head over heels for books like Inkheart by Cornelia Funke, or of course the Percy Jackson series by Rick Riordan. But it wasn't really until I started noticing queer YA contemporary novels coming on the shelves, like Will Grayson, I think was the very first one I ever read by David Levithan. Or even like Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda, of course, by Becky Albertalli, classic. And it was only after I was exposed to those and I saw those on the shelves that I became more interested in them, and then of course started writing in that genre.
Right. Yeah. And it is so true and something that I myself have, seen, but then also heard from other readers and authors, just that like books with queer experiences and just queer characters were not seen as much as they are now. And they weren't like visibly on the shelves. And yeah, but to have slowly then those books start popping up, and now to be able to find so many stories with such a wide array of representation is really wonderful. And also, I think it's so cool that, obviously, of course, Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda is one of those staple beginning
Of
queer books that
course.
really shot off. And now, Becky has blurbed your book. And so that's really cool. And so knowing that you hadn't always had a love for YA contemporary, but then you slowly found it when you started writing and sort of knew you wanted to publish a book, was YA contemporary the first genre that came to mind?
No. And I sound like the worst YA contemporary author when I say that. But My origins were in fantasy, so I always just naturally saw myself as a fantasy author when I envisioned my stories one day being on shelves. Like the very first two full-length novels I wrote were fantasy. I even had a fantasy trilogy all planned out before
Wow.
I pivoted to contemporary and really found my voice there. I always like to say that like maybe one day I'll go back to my roots, but for now I'm going to keep writing contemporary so long as I have stories to tell in me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no Skater Boy the fantasy series yet.
Yeah, no. No flying skateboards for anyone just yet.
Well, that's so interesting because those are obviously, it's storytelling, but they are two very different genres and can have very different stories and themes and but also some similarities. So it's so wonderful though that you did find a love for why contemporary and have these stories that you're able to tell. And like we said, here you are, just over 2 months from the release of your debut, Skater Boy. And as I said, it releases on February 6th, and it follows Stonebridge High's resident bad boy, 17-year-old Wesley Big Mac McKenzie. And he is failing senior year thanks to his unchecked anger, rowdy friends, and a tendency to ditch his homework for skateboarding and a secret photography habit. So when his mom drags him to a production of The Nutcracker, Wes isn't interested at all. Until he sees Tristan Monroe, Mr. Nutcracker himself. Wes knows he shouldn't like Tristan. After all, he's a ballet dancer, and Wes is as closeted as they come. But when they start spending time together, Wes can't seem to get Tristan out of his head. Driven by a new sense of purpose, Wes begins to think that despite every authority figure telling him otherwise, maybe he can change for the better and graduate on time. As a falling out with his friends becomes inevitable, Wes realizes that being himself means taking a stand. If only he can blow up the bad boy reputation he never wanted in the first place. And as I said, I am currently reading it. I'm loving it so much. It is such a wonderful story and just a story that is so needed. I mean, obviously, like we were saying, there are lots more queer stories now in the publishing world, but there could always be more. And so to have this story is so meaningful, and to be able to read it is to be able to read it in general, but also to be able to be reading it early is so meaningful and such an honor. And so I've really fallen in love with this story and your writing. And so I love it so much. And I do have to ask, what was the inspiration for your debut?
Yeah, well, in the fall of 2019, I was on a 5-week road trip back home to Canada from Orlando, Florida, where my partner and I had spent last year working at Walt Disney World. And we were on the road driving when, of course, Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne came on the radio. And I had this like out of body experience. I don't even know how else to describe it, where I had this very vivid flashback. And I remember being a kid in the back of my family's car, singing along to songs, but secretly always changing the pronouns in my head so that I could pretend to be living out, those iconic stories within the music we all knew and loved. And so authors always say, like, oh, I don't remember exactly when I came up with this story, but I can pin the exact moment I started dreaming up Skater Boy somewhere between like Arizona and Nevada, because I sat in the passenger seat of my car and I fleshed out pretty much the entire skeleton of what became, and honestly, what still remains to this day, the bulk of my debut novel.
Wow.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from.
Well, that's really crazy and incredible that you can also pinpoint not just like the time, but like the specific location and yeah, and of course, music is so powerful, and so I love that there was just this like yeah, just that it happened to be this one song that then like totally opened up this whole world for you.
Yeah, definitely. And it wasn't even this particular song that I remember changing the pronouns to. It's just I kept thinking like, oh, what if I wrote a story about a skateboarder, like a punk, but also a male ballet dancer? Like, what would that look like? And then I just went from there.
Yeah. Well, once you had the idea, how long would you say it took you to write the first draft?
Yeah, so after that road trip home from Florida, my partner and I planned to get full-time jobs so we could qualify for a mortgage, in this economy, I know. But I remember turning to him and saying, like, look, I know I need to start applying for jobs so we can get this show on the road, but I need to write this novel first. Like, I can feel in my bones that this is going to be important. At that point, I had already written three books. I had already tried querying those and I got rejection after rejection. But something about this book just really struck a chord with me. And so, of course, my partner was so supportive of me. So once I did get home, every day I sat at my computer and I wrote from 9 to 5. Like, I really did treat it like a full-time job. And I had that first draft written within 2 months. And then I spent the next few months, editing and revising and having some of my closest beta readers like giving me feedback. And the rest is kind of just history from then.
Yeah. Wow. Well, clearly you had this story that was like you were so ready to put it on the page. And yeah, that's really incredible. That just that, over 2 months you were able to, produce the story, and then yeah, like you said, the rest is history. And during the time of writing this book, did you turn to any other forms of media, like movies, books, or shows? Or music for inspiration or motivation?
Yeah, well, believe it or not, since you are reading it right now, I actually first started writing Skater Boy as a lighthearted rom-com. Like, I very much looked to early 2000 rom-coms because I see all of my books as movies in my head naturally. Maybe it's the director screenwriting past that I have. But early 2000 rom-coms were just so perfect that I wanted to emulate that feeling within the pages of my story. And while Skater Boy is like the exact opposite of a lighthearted romantic comedy now, there are still pivotal scenes in the book that almost pay tribute to those mo movies in a way, without giving any spoilers, like the epic teenage house party on New Year's, or the cute moment when the main character and the love interest teach each other something or they learn something from one another. I like to think those were my way of tipping my hat to the movies that raised me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be the entire story doesn't have to be this full on, rom-com. But like you said, you have those, and I can totally see it, those little moments where, yeah, if you get those feelings of the teen rom-com. And but then yeah, it's just so wonderful. And I love that you were able to put those within that throughout the story. And obviously, since at the time of the inspiration for this book, music was a big factor for it. Did you make a playlist while writing this book? And if so, what songs and artists are on the playlist? Hopefully, Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, that's definitely the first one. I 100% made a playlist when writing this book because, like, with a title like Skater Boy, I it's kind of hard not to, right? But I did. I really wanted to tap into the feelings of early 2000s, like punk pop music. The teenage angst and the anger and the coming of age, because it had such a huge impact on my life growing up. And because of that, I actually riffed off of many of my favorite songs, and they actually became the chapter titles in my books. So a lot of them are just plays on my favorite music. And so readers can actually even now find my Skater Boy playlist through the link in my social media bios, but they can expect to find artists like Green Day, Good Charlotte, Paramore, like Blink-182, and Youngblood, just to name a few.
Yeah, I love the aspect of chapter titles. When I saw it, when I first paged through the book, I was so excited because that's always so fun and it adds a little bit of humor to the book at times, depending on what the chapter titles are. And I love, yeah, that there were sort of like these spin-offs or parodies of some of your favorite songs. And that's always so fun. And
Yeah, it was
yeah.
honestly the most fun I had was making up those chapter titles, because For me, they were just so nostalgic, and they were so hard to find ways to incorporate them into the overall theme of each chapter, but I like to think I did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, for sure.
Thanks.
Well, other than the gorgeous inside of this book with the wonderful story and the fun chapter titles, there is the most stunning cover on the front of the book. And I love it so much. I was highly anticipating the cover reveal as time went on, and it was such an exciting cover reveal and so worth the wait. I loved it so much. And so what was the cover process like, and did you have some say in what the final design was?
Yeah, the cover process was very long, but I mean that in the best way possible. With this book, with Skater Boy, I really wanted to get the cover right because there's honestly not a lot of books on the shelves today with stories like Wes's. And because of the themes I explore within the pages, I did want the cover to be something super different than what's currently out there on the market. And I wanted it to be almost in your face in its differences, but at the same time, I wanted to make sure that it was a cover that would be safe for readers like Wes, who may be closeted, may be insecure, and might desperately want or need to read this book, but maybe too afraid to pick it up or ask for it. You know, you hear horror stories from authors receiving the final versions of their cover with like no say. Or like they were never consulted or asked what they'd even like to see on it. But that couldn't be further from my experience. Like right from the get-go, Soho Teen was so wonderful throughout the entire process. And they really made sure I loved every element of the cover before we finalized it. I mean, like how I managed to get a full-blown black cover for a YA contemporary is beyond me, but that just goes to show you how seriously Soho Teen took my suggestions to heart. And I did have a lot. Like I gave them a Google Drive with cover inspiration, color swatches, fonts I loved, like cover album art that I adored, like because I very much wanted to nail down the look and feel of punk pop. And so and at the end of the day, like I had spent so many years to that point dreaming up what I wanted this book to be, and I think the cover is just a perfect visual representation of that. So you saying that the cover reveal was great really strikes a chord within me because I wanted that to be everyone's experience when they saw it.
Yeah, it is so wonderful. And like you said, it embodies the book so well, but also that you were able to have this cover that can be discreet for readers who need it to be discreet, at the same time of like capturing the book so well is really, really wonderful. Yeah, and it's so fun. It is very in your face, but in the best way possible. And yeah, I also love just like the little images and icons on the front of, you know, the camera and all the different things. It makes it feel like and I don't know if this was if I'm like interpreting this the wrong way, but like also like really like if you were to put stickers on something, and like it's just like really fun, the design and how it the illustration of Wes looks on the cover, it just stands out and it's really so fun. And yeah, so it turned out so wonderful and it's so nice to
Thank
hear.
you.
Of course.
And you're right. You're right. Those are supposed to be stickers. And
Yeah.
Wes himself, he has like almost like crinkles or lines along him that make it look like he's like this old, this used sticker that was just slapped onto a skateboard, which is such a cool touch that the cover artist did.
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, it's so wonderful. And along with the cover for the title, has it always been Skater Boy?
I actually originally called this book He Was a Skater Boy, with absolutely no regard as to what like the legal ramifications of that would be. So it very quickly turned to Skater Boy, and obviously for name recognition alone, that was the better choice.
Yeah, it's so great. And it still has, you know, for anyone who knows the song, obviously, you know, That's so perfect. And then obviously you've been able to use the song when posting about the book. So that's been really fun. And yeah, it's so perfect. What do you hope readers will take away from reading this book?
Yeah, you'll hear me say this over and over again, but in writing Skater Boy, I really wanted to take a deep dive into labels and how they influence and sometimes even define our lives. It was really important to me as a writer to attempt to almost flip the script on labels and really explore what it means to be like a punk or a hothead or even a gay person in today's society, because so often we're only fed one version of a person or a community, and I hate that. Like I so I made it my mission to highlight a character we don't often see and show readers that it's okay to be a little different. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to define your sexuality and your identity on your own terms, because at the end of the day, like that's what life is all about. It's about discovering who you are in your own time.
That is so well said, and a message that so many people need and will feel seen by, especially just with this book. And yeah, it's just hearing this makes me even more excited for readers to be able to read it. And yeah, that's just a really wonderful takeaway for readers. And on that sort of line of releasing and takeaways and excitement, is there something that you are most excited for when this book releases?
Oh my gosh, yes. Like so many things. But writing is such a solitary act. You know, like we spend so many years within our own stories, and sometimes those years are entirely by ourselves. So I'm super excited just to see Skater Boy exist in the world for other people to experience and enjoy. Like I do my best anytime an author comes to town to go to their events, because I love hearing about their process and their journey to publication, because it really does look different for everyone. And so I'm really excited to see what that will look like being on the other side of, I mean, the other side of like the microphone, if you will, to be able to visit new cities and share my story and my voice to not only other aspiring writers, but queer kids I otherwise never would come across in my own life. Like, I think that's going to be a super special moment for me to experience.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see, what you will be doing with release and launch. And yeah, I'm sure it's just such an exciting time to anticipate. And then it's also just going to be such an exciting time and a rewarding time for all of the hard work and time and craft and inspiration and care you put into this novel to now see it go out into the world and celebrate the release. Yeah, that's just such an exciting time to think about, and I'm sure all of the emotions are going through you
Oh
right
gosh, it's
now.
a roller coaster for sure.
What would you say was the most important thing about writing Wes's story?
Yeah, I could go on and on about this, but I think the most important part about writing Wes's story was how all the facets of his life, whether that be relationships or friendships or past traumas, you know, they come together to help inform how he interacts with the world. Wes is a morally gray character. Like he is not for everyone, but we're honestly all morally gray characters. So to peel that back and really dissect how every moment in a person's life impacts how they move forward was a really touching way to explore Wes for me as a writer. I say in the author note at the beginning of the novel that writing Wes helped me get back in touch with a part of myself that I thought I'd lost. And so I hope readers see that and know that it's okay to be morally gray and it's okay to not have the answers to everything.
Yeah, that is so wonderful. And yeah, it's such a wonderful, just takeaway as well for readers, but also then just for you as the writer when writing this story. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. Wes is very complicated as a character, and so I loved exploring his the sides of him that don't sh see the world often, because it was like I was peeling back layers of myself that I hadn't really explored as well. And so it was very interesting to write a character that people may hate at the beginning, and I'm fully aware that they may hate at the beginning, but I hope they stick with it and learn to love him like I learned to love him.
Absolutely. Well, if you could turn Skater Boy into anything other than a movie or a TV show, what would that be?
Oh, without any hesitation, I would love to see Skater Boy turned into a Broadway musical. That's like a peak author dream of mine. Something that maybe starts off Broadway, but has the appeal of like Alanis Morissette's like Jagged Little Pill or American Idiot, or even like Rent, honestly. Something that has great music and like maybe the stage moves around while Wes skateboards to different scenes. Like I just, oh, this is, I guess, a chef's kiss.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And yeah, I don't think, because I ask this question a lot because I love hearing everybody's different answers. And yeah, I've heard video game, I've heard like stage play, like, and not a musical, but a stage play. And I've heard a podcast or a graphic novel. But oh my gosh, a Broadway musical would be so much fun. I would totally go and see that. And
Right?
I.
And the music is all there. The chapter titles, the
Right.
music, the playlist is already there for them. They just have to make the
Exactly. Actually, why
writing of
isn't this
it.
happening like right now? This should
I
be.
know. Like, I need to talk to my agent.
Right. Yeah. Well, if anyone who's listening writes Broadway musicals, just hit Anthony up. Like, you
Yeah.
know, tomorrow we could like make this happen. So, no, that
Yeah.
would be so much fun. And hey, I'm going to manifest that because that would be so exciting. And yeah, it's another awesome way to embody the story. And yeah, like you said, the music's already there. And oh my gosh, to have the stage move, that would be so cool. And they did it for Hamilton, so clearly they can make the stage move.
They have the technology. Let's put the
Right.
punk on the stage.
Absolutely. Well, when readers finish Skater Boy and they're craving more, what movies, TV shows, books, podcasts, games, music, etc., do you recommend to them?
Okay, yes. When readers finish Skater Boy and want more, I would suggest they watch Netflix's Words on Bathroom Walls, because it is amazing, and I would love to see Skater Boy adapted in a similar vein if like TV or movie rights ever get bought. I can't say enough about that show. That movie, I love it. As for like video games, I mean, during my cover reveal, so many people thought, and really they continue to think, the cover image of Wes looks like Cameron Monaghan, which was purely coincidental. So I guess obviously like go watch Shameless or play like Star Wars Jedi Survivor or something to see Cameron slash Wes more. And then music wise, I would say finish off the night by listening to Youngblood's recent album, because songs like Die for a Night, The Funeral, The Boy in the Black Dress perfectly capture Skater Boy's overall vibe to me. Or honestly, just go listen to Skater Boy at full blast and dance your heart out, because if you do that, I have achieved my goal in paying tribute to the Canadian icon that is Avril.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just, or, you know, just have it on repeat while you read the book. And
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. I mean, like, my book is very much a loose tribute to the song, because it doesn't really have anything to do with the song. But yeah, I hope it still invokes that the same like nostalgia and love of that song too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, those are some great pieces of media to watch and play and read and listen to and just to experience and to continue experiencing the vibes of the book after you have finished it. What would be your advice for anyone who is interested in writing or is an aspiring writer?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot. And as someone who wrote for 10 years before I landed an agent, I sought out answers to this question from anyone I could find. My advice to aspiring writers is to keep writing and reading as much as you can, wherever and wherever you can. Because, you know, it's so easy to get discouraged by this industry. And as much as it's amazing to see your friends getting deals and agents, I know the simultaneous heartbreak that comes with those feelings of joy. But unfortunately, that's the way this industry works. And so much of it is just pure luck. So I always say, like, ignore the noise and immerse yourself in your next story and read as much as you can inside and outside of your genre. And at the end of the day, never forget why you're doing this in the first place. Like, hopefully it's because you love writing and your heart skips a beat when thinking about how your words might mean something to someone someday, because I promise you that they will, and they do matter even now. So just keep it up.
That is such wonderful advice. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, now that, even though I've said it before, and not to harp on the passage of time, we are 2 months, just over 2 months from the release. And
can't believe it.
I know, I can only imagine. If the very first original draft of Skater Boy were to bump into the now final copy arc version of Skater Boy, would they recognize each other?
Oh my gosh, that is a beautiful question. Thank you for asking that.
Of course.
I've actually never thought that's so beautiful. Okay, so if my first draft of Skater Boy met the version of Skater Boy that will be hitting the bookshelves that readers will be digesting, will they recognize each other? I think in a lot of ways they will. Like, the voice was there from day one. When I first started writing that first chapter, which I'm not gonna lie, is like 90% the same of as what it was when I wrote it. The voice and the heart is still there. I think what my editor at Soho Teen did really well was she encouraged me to take a step back and really think about Wes and what he would be feeling every single moment and situation that he is put in this book. And so my first draft was 68,000 words. And by the end of my first round of my editorial letter and my revisions, it was 93,000. And I had removed 45,000 words.
Wow.
So you can imagine that this book is very much different from what it started at. But at the same time, like, this book is very much, it's the exact same. Like, I haven't changed the storyline at all, with some exceptions. I added a few chapters, I removed a few, but the overarching storyline of this is the exact same. Most of the dialogue is the exact same, but I really took a step back and I dove into Wes's voice and his head so much more than I did when I first started it. And it really helped me learn and better understand him as well. So I think they would recognize each other, but maybe it would be like a glance or like a smirk as they walked past each other on like a busy New York City street.
I love that. What a wonderful answer. And yeah, that's so interesting too, just to hear the changes, but then also to know that, like, the voice was always there, and even from the very first chapter. And you know, I can say now, as reading an arc, the voice is so strong, and it's so wonderful. And so I love that it has stayed true and loud throughout.
Loud is a very good word for it. Like, I started writing this in 2019, right? I sold it at the end of 2022. And so going back in, I was really nervous about, like, not being able to emulate that voice again. But Wes, I always say, like, Wes is me, I am Wes. Like, the voice came back to me so suddenly and so purely that I just loved spending time with his story and all of his friends and characters and his mom. His mom is my favorite.
Absolutely. What would be your advice to your younger self?
My advice to my younger self would be to take more risks. And as someone who is very much risk adverse, I know that that's easier said than done. But I always like to think that Wes wouldn't have grown in Skater Boy without putting himself out there and taking risks. So I would tell myself to follow in Wes's footsteps, or rather follow in the path of his skateboard. And chase your dreams, no matter how long they may take to come true.
What a perfect answer. I love that so much. And I love that your advice to your younger self even ties into your book and just your story. But what a perfect answer. Yeah, to just end a perfect episode. And I want to thank the iconic, fabulous, talented, inspirational Anthony Narada for joining me today. Anthony, I had the time of my life chatting with you. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Gabriel. This was a lot of fun. I'm so glad to be here and talking to your followers.
Thank you so much. It was such an honor to have you. And where can the listeners find you?
Yeah, they can find me on any social media platform at Anthony Narada, NERADA. They can also stay up to date on all of my book news and maybe an upcoming book tour through my website at anthonynarada.com.
Well, I love that, and that is so exciting. I will be keeping my eyes and ears peeled. And do you have anything upcoming or current that you want to shout out or promote?
Oh gosh. I like to say that 2024 is the year of the angry gaze. And so I've been very fortunate in that I've been able to read a few of those books, and I'm gonna shout out The Last Boyfriend's Rules for Revenge by Matthew Hubbard. It is incredible. It's all about queer joy, but in the face of queer activism and what that looks like for kids fighting "Don't Say Gay" bills within their own school system. Adam Sass's upcoming book, Cursed Boys and Broken Hearts, is wonderful. It's so Italian and it's so me as well that I love. And also James Acker's Teenage Dirtbags. I mean, chapter 3 in Skater Boy is titled Teenage Dirtbags for a reason. So I highly recommend reading that when it comes out in April.
Thank you so much for shouting those out. I am excited for all of those. And yeah, you put two and two together for me because now I'm realizing, yes, 2024, that is the year of Angry Gays with all the books. And yeah, but such amazing releases. And thank you everyone for listening to today's episode of Try Reading. Don't forget to subscribe or follow the podcast. And if you'd like, you can write a review or rate the show. It helps other book lovers find these amazing guests and their amazing and iconic stories. As always, you can follow Try Reading on Instagram at Try Reading Podcast and on Threads at the same handle. And you can find this show wherever you get your podcasts and catch new episodes every other Friday. I also want to thank the amazing listeners for joining me for yet another iconic season of the Try Reading Podcast. This has been an absolute dream to interview even more inspirational people all over the book world this past year, and I hope that I can continue to do it in 2024. So thank you to each and every person who has pressed play on this book podcast. As always, you can buy books by the Try Reading authors through the bookshop.org link in the Try Reading Linktree below. And yes, of course, you will find Skater Boy there. Get ready to fall in love with it. Anthony, I want to thank you again for bringing your amazing stories onto today's episode. You are such a cool person, a marvelous storyteller, and I am so lucky to have had you join me for the season finale. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Gabriel. This was an honor.